Hey, it's your Dummy Master, Tristan, and I would like to thank our sponsor, Dubby Energy. Dubby Energy is a growing and flourishing energy drink powder, actually developing a clean energy formula that is free from fillers, maltodextrin, and artificial colorings, so everyone can enjoy. In addition, Dubby is a sugar-free and zero-calorie. Using a coffee fruit extract blend gives a much healthier, jitterless, and no-crash effect from drinking Dubby. There are many flavors, and each one sounds amazing. I just got my order of Dragonade today and a mystery flavor. The Dragonade is dragon fruit and pink strawberry lemonade. Yummy, yummy. I am so excited to try them out. Our referral link for Dubby Energy will be in the description, along with our discount code for a 10% off. Dummies with Dice is the discount code. Thank you, Dubby Energy. Viewer warning, use of violence, profanity, rude humor, and their portrayal of drug and alcohol use. Welcome to Dummies with Dice, a Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast that follows four not-so-average dummies of our world that get caught up in a magical storm and are transported to the world of Dungeons & Dragons, where they must survive and try to find a way back home. Who wants to go first?
Hi, I'm Kelly Lee, and I play Miss Muffin. Hi. She's a crazy cat lady rogue. Fun fact, Miss Muffin's never been to Five Guys.
Never been to Five Guys?
Yep.
Never been with Five Guys.
Never had Five Guys?
Never been to Five Guys.
All right.
Indeed. Hey guys, Ryan, R1. I'm playing as Archie Ortiz, the 76-year-old MMA gym owner. He's also the monk of the group. Fun fact about Archie... he has a secret mansion in the hills.
Oh. What hills?
Just the hills.
Just a hill. Just a hill up somewhere.
Wherever he's at, there's
hills right
there.
Hell yeah.
Mansion in the hill.
Hey, Nate here. My character's Duke Crystal. He's the 32-year-old, drug-addicted, level 4 barbarian of the group. Fun fact about Duke, he's wrecked 28 people in road rage incidents.
28. He's kept track of all of them.
Yeah. He remembers them vividly. He's sworn if he ever sees them again, they're dead.
Yeah. Let's see it.
Hey everybody, Ryan Tucker here, R2. Here I play as Police Stick Sock Jelly. I am the Hobo Trash Master Cleric of the God Rumpke. I am the MacGyver of all things trash and garbage. Fun fact, Police Stick always dreamed of being a garbage truck driver when he got older for the Rumpke gods.
Yeah, well, that's a good occupation for him. My name is Tristan Hayes, and I am the Dummy Master, and my fun fact is, so the national bird, there's a person who wanted a turkey to be the national bird of the United States. Do you guys know who that is?
Benjamin Franklin.
Me!
Oh, it was Benjamin Franklin. Yes, Benjamin Franklin wanted to make the wild turkey the national bird of the United States.
Why not?
Why not? Benjamin gobble Franklin. Gobble, my dude.
Yeah, history.
I see more turkeys than eagles.
I said, Benjamin Franklin.
Benjamin Franklin, he's like...
it's Benjamin Franklin.
He knows his Ben Franklin.
All right. He knows his Ben Franklins. All right. Let's get into some D&D. So, where we left off, you guys were traveling to Phandalin to go meet with Varen Axebreaker. Snow started to fall, and we had our goblin experience of Christmas wonders. And you guys have made your way towards Phandalin, and you've turned down towards the Tribor Trail. So, Phandalin is just about an hour away. You guys are fully rested. You got good health. It is about early, about noon, so it's like midday-ish, starting to get there. And you guys are very close to Phandalin. Is there anything you guys want to do before you arrive at Phandalin? You're supposed to be meeting with Varen Axebreaker. Is there anything you want to prepare for, or if you want to just go straight there? That's up to you.
We fully long rested and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Go straight there.
Full long rested. Straight there?
There ain't any shops or nothing nearby.
No, there's no. This is the Tribor Trail. It's just a trail that leads back through towards Phandalin and some further areas. You were given a map by Lilith Darko that kind of shows you where, so you know where you're going. You know the trail that you're taking and stuff. So yeah, if you guys want to just head on Phandalin, that is fine. So as you approach Phandalin, you see this big town, but it's kind of like, looks like it was run down at one point and now is kind of just being built back up. Like it's just, you can tell it's starting to flourish very well, but it's on the build up is what you can tell. So you guys have to meet with Varen Axebreaker. So as you enter this town, you're seeing buildings with signs that say like Phandalin's Miners Exchange, and you're seeing woodworker places, and you're seeing blacksmiths. You're seeing a general place of community and functionality and stuff. So what would you guys like to do? Would you like to try and find Varen Axebreaker, or would you like to fiddle around in the town?
I like to fiddle around in the town.
Frolic, if you may.
What would you like to do? There's you've seen a woodworker, you've seen the Phandalin Miners Exchange as you're entering, and then there's a building called the Lion's Shield Coaster. Coaster. I don't know how you say it. And walk towards the Lion's Shield Coaster, you see a big building that says Townmaster's Hall. Would you like to go into the Lion's Shield Coaster?
Yeah.
Yeah. Check it out. Okay. Sounds like some kind of donut.
Hanging above the front door of this modest trading post is a sign shaped like a wooden shield with a blue lion painted on it. Enter and... Let me see the woman that's in here. The woman is Lenine. Okay, yeah. So she says, "Hello, I am Lenine. What would you guys like? You guys here for adventuring gear? Armor? Weapons? Anything of the sorts?"
Ooh. You scared of cursed swords?
She like stops. She goes, "Oh my god, curse swords." Okay, so she goes, "What do you mean? Why? What you got? What, you got a cursed sword that you're wanting me to look at?" Or
yeah, I was wondering if you could maybe refine it, and give it a nice edge.
Refine it, give it a nice
clean
edge.
Clean it up some. It's been a while.
She goes, "Let me take a look at it." And you present it to her, like lay it on the counter.
Yeah, before I hand it to her, I'm gonna let her know that like when you grab it, it does give you a bit of a zing.
Okay, so you lay the sword on the counter, and she, like, looks at it, and she, like, reaches her hand out to touch for it, and she sees, like, you guys can see, like, the symbiotic, like, little flowing around the handle, and it kind of stretches out towards her, and she, like, jumps back, and she goes, "Oh, shit, okay, no, I don't know what to do about that." She goes, "I was just going to say, like, I have some shields and some swords and maybe, like, a helmet." She goes, I don't think I can do anything for this, because I don't want to touch this thing.
Well, I grab the sword, and then, I say that concludes our business.
She goes, "Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Would you like anything?"
"No, I'm fine.
Adventuring gear." Yeah, you guys are all inside.
Yeah, we got one room. Yeah, what kind of... Wait. This is blacksmith or is it coster?
She's the coster, but she sells weapons, armors, and...
I just want to hear what kind of inventory she's got.
So she's got about the most... average kind of some stuff. She's got some little jars of called Alchemist Fire. It's just like little potions you can throw that create fire. Little acid potions, or potions, acid vials. She has caltrops. She has a crossbow.
What's caltrops?
As an action, you can spread a bag of caltrops to cover a square area that is 5 feet on any side. It's like, basically, any creature that enters is dexterity save of 15, or they... stop moving on their turn and take one piercing damage.
That's what the shinobi would throw down, like the little spiky
little jacks, basically.
Yeah,
that you'd step on and stab.
So she's got kind of a lot of that stuff. Climber kits, crowbars, healer's kit, lots of things.
How much is the healer's kit?
The healer's kit?
She was too scared to touch
it. It cost 5 gold pieces.
5
for
gold
a healer's
pieces?
Kit. Yes.
All right. I want 2.
Okay. You can have 2. There you go. He goes, "Thanks for doing business."
1 band-aid each.
Anything else you guys would like?
What kind of armor you got?
Mostly generic armors, like leather armor, normal plated armor. Nothing eccentric and crazy.
You boring, bro.
She goes, "Oh, okay. Okay, well then, is that all you'd like?
Just
nothing else?"
Just kidding. He's not.
He's not. Okay. Are you guys done in this place?
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Lousy.
Unless she can actually do some blacksmithing. Go to the
She can't make no blacksmithing right now, really.
Much oh, yeah. Let's go to the blacksmith.
Yeah, you go to the blacksmith. Okay. I don't know how. I don't have a person for this. So, yeah, you guys go up to the blacksmith and you see a dwarf and he is kind of banging on some metal and, you know, head banging on some metal. He's banging it. Creating some weapons and such, and he turns around and he goes, ah, what can I do for you? Are you looking for some smithing to be done?
Yeah, I was wondering if I could take this crystal from my helmet and enhance my staff somehow with it.
He, like, takes your crystal and he, like, takes your staff and he's like, son, this isn't metal. He goes, I don't know what I can do with this. He goes, if you want me to take it for the night, I can maybe talk to some other people and see what they can do.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, all right. I'll roll for that here in a little bit.
Okay.
We'll see how that works out for him.
Wait, for the night? Oh, no, no. I pass. Never mind.
Okay.
I
turn around to, like, take it back, he's like, you don't want me to take it?
No, yeah, I'm good. Sorry.
Okay, all right. Well, you can have it back. It's no big deal, because I'm just going to see if I can help.
All right, I appreciate
that. There was a woodworking guy with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but can they help with magic stuff? We don't know.
Carve runes into it?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But, anything else? You'd like to talk to this blacksmith to do anything special?
Yeah. I'm going to ask him the same question. Are you scared of cursed swords?
Cursed swords. I'm not scared of no cursed sword. I've had seen plenty in my days.
All right. Think you can clean this one up, maybe sharpen her up a bit, refine it some.
Yeah, you pull out the sword, and he, like, reaches for it, and it, like, goes to smack his hand, and, like, you see this just, like, brutish, like, dwarf hand just, like, smokes against him with that symbiotic touch, and it just, like slithers away. He goes, yeah, I've got my body charmed. He goes, your curses won't hurt me, because I'll sharpen your blade for you. And, like, kind of turns around and starts going at it, and he goes, that will be 50 gold pieces, though.
That's fine.
Just to get a little edge on it.
Paid.
Okay.
How about you try to imbue this crystal into my Dragon Slayer sword? Do you think you can handle that? Would it do anything?
He would probably have to do the same to take it to somebody to get the magic stuff figured out. Because he's not a magic guy. Exactly. Like, he's not going to be over there, like, forming magic to a weapon. That takes more than just one person, because they have to concentrate all that magic to transfer it into a weapon.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, they could try it, but it may also blow up your weapon.
Never mind. So, can you just clean my sword up for me?
Yeah, they can do that. So,
thank you.
50 gold pieces if you want them to clean up your sword.
Cha-ching.
Okay, so if you have them clean up your sword, I'm going to say you guys get an advantage to use with your attack at any time. Like, you can have one advantage to use, like, with an attack. Like, okay. If you're like, I want to hit this attack, you can use it with an advantage. Since you got your blades sharpened up, cleaned, whetstoned, smithed. Hey, would you like to go find Varen, or is there anything else you'd like to do here before you go find this dude? Varen Assbreaker.
You think you can, like,
you said Assbreaker that time. I know you did.
Huh?
Upgrade my pop tab armor?
I don't know how much while he would be doing it upgrading. Like, I could maybe give you... What is your armor at right now? What is it? Like, what's your pop tab armor when you click on it?
This is... 14.
If you want to pay him 150 gold pieces, you will have to leave it with him for the night so that he could, you know, enhance it. But yes, he could do that. But you'd have to leave it with him for the night to kind of, you know.
Never mind.
Just modify it.
I'll do it on a different quest.
Okay. All right. You guys like to go find Varen Axebreaker?
What about your woodworking guy?
I'll do it later.
Okay. Yes, all right. So, yeah, you guys are going to start heading through town, and you are going to go frolicking through town, sorry. You were given a heads up that he would be at the Stonehill Inn. So as you guys start making your way through town, looking at signs and such, you see the Stonehill Inn, and you want to enter, I'm assuming? Go on in and find Varen. Walk in and sniff the air. Okay, give me a perception check, Miss Muffin, for smelling.
Sniff check.
14.
14? Okay, you walk in and you take a really deep smell and make me a con save.
Oh no! Why? Yes, Why are you making me do that?
Carbon monoxide.
10.
10? Okay, so you walk into this room and you take a big, deep breath, and you just smell like... Like, there's a lot of miners living in this inn, like dwarven miners that have been just out mining for hours and hours. You smell the worst nut butter and sweat smell of your life creep into your nose, and you take a huge gag, but you kind of hold it back and don't throw up on the floor at least. So as you enter, you kind of scan the room, and you see a dwarf who's got braided hair. His beard is black. His beard are black. He's got streaks of gray through him. He wears a loose and comfortable robe over a very large steel breastplate. You can assume that that's Baron Axebreaker. Would you like to approach him and talk?
Assume it's him?
Was it a cod plate or a breastplate?
Huh? Breastplate. Steel breastplate. Yeah. Breastplate. So... As you approach Varen, he goes, "Ah, you are the ones I've been waiting for, aren't you? You guys, ones that here are supposed to be helping, sent by Lilith?"
"Guess so."
"Yep."
"Well, thank you for hearing me out and my plan that I've got going, because my name is Varen Axebreaker."
"Oh, that's why it stinks in here."
As you say that, you see him like look at you straight at you, and he like stands up, and you just see him pick up like this shelf. There's like a shelf of axes, and he just like knees it and shatters this axe over his knee. And he's like, "It's Axe Breaker, not Ass Breaker." And he sits down. He goes, "And I have a proposition for you. My clan has located wealth stolen from us many years ago, but it's sealed in a vault that's magically locked. And if you can recover the key, whatever the key is, you'll gain an undying gratitude of Clan Axebreaker. And I'll cut you in a percentage of the recovered treasure, of course, from our vault. The catch here is, the person who knows how to open this vault is rotting away in the prison of Revel's End. She's proved uncooperative with my people in the past, but I recently discovered the vault where she hid what she stole from us. I need you to go question her and learn how to open the vault, and how you do that is up to you. But if you need to spring her from prison in exchange for this information, please do so. I can provide you with a way in, and as well as a layout of Revel's End and a few useful tricks." So, you guys are being tasked to break into the prison, Revel's End, and break out a prisoner.
One question.
Yes.
Why do you break axes?
Why does he break axes? Because there's nothing stronger than breaking a metal axe.
You don't want to break your asses.
It's better than breaking your ass. You break an axe. The other throws an axe at you.
I don't know. You ask the man. You break his axe, and then you break his ass. Let's see which one was worse.
You see him like take a deep look. He's like, "Yeah, that's true." I've never thought about that.
You could always
part.
Get another axe.
Yes, you could. You could. He's like really questioning his life choices. I'm gonna send you guys this in the group chat.
That caused a midlife crisis. He's like,
real quick.
He's breaking ass.
Okay. So I'm gonna send that in the group chat just for you to have a reference for every time you want to open it. I'm just gonna pop it open on the map right now, but. Yeah, so Varen retrieves a faceted sapphire the size of a small orange and places it on the table. He waves his hand over the gem, and a glowing blue image of a building floor plan appears in the air above it. He taps the gem, and the image vanishes. The sapphire splits into sections, and he passes one fragment to each of you, like of this crystal fragment. The fragment grows warm in your hand and then melts and then vanishes, leaving a warm, tingling sensation behind. And he goes, "Think about the map of Revel's End, and you'll be able to see it." So you have a hollow map that'll appear in front of you of Revel's End's prison
to use. Magic.
It does not cost an action. You can do that at any time you want to look at it. That's why I sent it to each of you on the thing, just so you were like, "Oh, I want to look at this spot," and you can look it up real quick and start
shooting. Where did you send it at?
The group chat.
Okay.
He does mention, though, he says, "But this magic will only last 5 days after you reach Revel's End. So once you reach the prison, you have 5 days to access until this gem will wear off, and you won't be able to access the map any longer."
Okay. That's intense.
Yes. Is there any questions that you have about this mission before we begin and we move on?
No.
No?
Yeah, how many guards are there going to be? Like, what's the intel on where are we breaching from? Says plus.
Okay, the prison has a garrison of 75 guards who work 8-hour shifts. 2/3 of the garrison is off duty and resting in area R19 at any given time. So there's always a switch out of guards. Each guard wears a tunic that bears the Lord's Alliance emblem, a gold crown on a red field. And then the Lord's Alliance is an alliance of all the lords. It's a Phandalin, Neverwinter, all the cities. So if you guys get caught, you're fucked and you're on your own. So, but you want magic. Lilith told me of your problem, your dimensional problem. And he goes, and if you want magic info, then this vault is the way to get it. So you get the information, you get the key, come back to me, and we open the vault together and get you the info you need. So you have as much writing on this as we do to not get caught. So, yes, that is the situation on the guards. And he also says, he goes, the staff rotate out periodically, and we know the schedule of the next rotation, and my agents are standing by to capture a member of the guards and cooks, so you can take their places if you'd like to approach that way. You guys are feel free to approach any way you like, but if you want to take the secret sneak in with the guards and cooks, I can assign that and set that up and have a boat that takes you guys there.
It probably sounds like the best one.
Yeah. Yeah. So he goes, but I will warn you that Prisoner 13, she was a trusted agent of Clan Axebreaker until she betrayed the clan, stole its fortune, and if pressed, she will kill you. So she, he kind of tells you, like, looks at you guys, like, really reluctantly. He goes, her name is Corda Glintstone. He goes, don't bring that name up unless you need to identify her. Because if you say her name that someone else knows, you will have problems. He goes, she has runnings through this prison. She runs this place on her own through her powers. I don't know how, but she is running things as a prisoner. So, yes, you guys have that info.
Where is she at?
There's another thing here I need to tell you.
So we gotta break someone out that we don't trust at all.
Yeah.
For the escape of this, I will have a small ship within sight of the prison, but at a safe distance. So when you guys are ready to leave their prison with the target or the info or however you need to do, you can shine a light from the dock after dark and the ship will roll in to pick you guys up. So you have all of this information. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What?
I said, why not?
Oh, I thought you said, it's like, okay, so, here's where we're going to break down some stuff. Who, do you all want to be guards, or do you, some want to be guards and some be cooks, so that you have a diverse separation of this prison? Or you all want to stick together as one unit? Like, how do you want to do
I
this?
I don't like splitting up.
For when they break, when they capture these guards and stuff, they know who to replace you with.
Well, I think if some of us are guards, that would give us access to the armory as well. And maybe we could lock that up and block them off from getting in there in case something does go wrong.
So, yeah, Varen tells you also, he says, with that gem that's embedded into your fleshy skin there, you will be able to activate kind of like a hack system, if you would. You can hack, you know, a door, make it lock, make it unlock. But once you use that on another door, that one will cease to be working as you were. So you know what I mean? You can only lock and unlock one at a time. Shut off a camera one at a time. Only one type of action thing at a time with your gems. So
we can't do like a total blackout.
You can't be like, lock this door, lock that door, lock that door, lock that door, and like every door is just locked down. Yeah, you can't do it like that.
So only one of them, even though we all have key cards,
only one process. Because the shit gem is separated into four, so you're all kind of on the same energy bandwidth. Yeah. Okay, so are you all, what do you guys want to do with your plan here? Guards and cooks? Or just guards, just cooks?
I feel like we should at least have one cook or something as like a contingency.
Ken?
Anybody want to be a cook?
Whoever's knows they can do the best. I'm not gonna.
I can make tuna.
I mean, if you are rogue, it would be better for a cook to sneak around than it would.
I don't really cook.
Like a guard can walk around more calmly than...
Duke doesn't really cook
than,
food.
Yeah.
That's not his specialty.
You want to do that?
That's fine. I don't care.
You're going to be a cook?
Yeah.
Okay. The rest of you just going to be guards then? Yeah, anyone else want to be a cook?
I could put something in a food maker sick, so then we have to take it to the hospital. And then we go to take it to the hospital, you slip out the door.
Ooh.
That is a good plan. It is a good plan. Yes. Like medical? Huh.
Who's going to be medical?
Well, no, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Take her, we're going
to... They're the guards.
Because the hospital is right next to the exit, yeah. to the exit elevator.
That or is it really? I just turn off the camera, look in her cell when we're doing patrol, and then I beat the shit out of her, and then turn the camera back on after I walk away. They'd be like,
"You do have to be careful though, because if
they
you do have to be careful because you guys are replacing guards, but that means you will have shifts. So like, if you're off your shift and you want to sneak around and look, you're still gonna have to." Sneak around. If a guard sees you, he's not going to be like, "What the fuck?" But he's going to be like, "Hey, buddy, why are you walking around here? Because you're not going to shit yet." So yeah, just there will be things that can happen with your what you got. But yes, you got the hollow map. You are ready to go if you're ready to go. You got a plan, somewhat of a plan. Maybe poison her and see if medical can get out. Yeah,
I'm going to do some studying of the. Once we're in,
you know, you got 5 days once you reach the place till your gem wears out. So, you at least have 5 days to try and, you know.
Yeah, we might take a day for reconnaissance.
Word. Okay, so you guys ready to head out then?
Yeah.
Okay. So as you guys kind of go to walk out, you are each equipped with a set of 4 greater healing potions from Varen. He's going to give each of you 4 to take with you. As a prepayment to keep you alive to get the job done, just in case things.
So are these like
shit hits the fan?
Are we gonna have a specific type of inventory once we go in there?
Yeah, once you get in, it's gonna be you're gonna have to give up your weapons and you're gonna have to get your standard gear of a guard. Yes, you would be a guard basically. You could conceal weapons if you have certain weapons to conceal, like a dagger or something, but.
Can I carry more than those 4 potions?
More than those? Yeah, you can carry as many potions as you want.
I already had 4.
Yeah,
so
they're not going to confiscate a potion from you because...
Is that 4 dispersed or per person?
Each person's going to get 4 because he wants to keep each of you alive to get this job done.
So just potion of healing?
Greater.
Greater healing.
4 of them.
I got 6 of them now.
That's 8. I can really do some guarding.
Okay. Are you guys ready then? Head out. All prisoners in the Rebel's End are identified by a number as well. So, like, for protocol, every prisoner is just prisoner whatever. Prisoner 13 is who you're after. Okay. So, Varen has sent word out to his agents, and you guys meet up with a dwarf spy named Bethra. You guys arrive in Luskan, and she provides you with the uniforms for your chosen covers and directs you to report to a ship called the Jolly Pelican. In the following dawn, this ship regularly delivers a fresh rotation of prison staff to Rebel's End and returns the relieved shift to the Sword Coast. There are 25 guards and 6 cooks are bound for the prison. One is Miss Muffin as a cook in full cook outfit and chef hat.
Chef hat. Muffin.
What's your? Are you guys taking fake names while you go in here? Just let's say you guys.
My name's Jeff.
Your name's Jeff. Yeah, his name is Guard Jeff.
Guard Jeff.
Miss Muffin, what's your fake name?
Sassy Sous Chef Sue.
Sassy Sous Chef Sue. Hang on, I'm going to have to write some stuff down.
Sassy Sous Chef Sue.
Why would
she
you do that?
Sue.
Why can't you just have a name like that?
My name is.
I don't want to be Jeff. Sassy Sous Chef Sue.
You're Jeff. I'm Borat. Regular nice.
Duke, you are... My name's Jeff.
Jeff.
His name is my name.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is now.
Mine's my first name. Name, my middle name.
Archie, what's your fake name?
Is Jeff. It is apostrophe Jeff. It's Jeff. My name's Jeff.
I don't know.
Please stick, what's your fake name?
I'm DeZohan.
DeZohan? Alright, DeZohan. Okay, Archie.
Oh shit.
Nate, what's Archie's name?
Huh? What's Archie's name?
Ronald.
What's Archie's his name? What's his fake name? What's our fake name, guys?
The Hamburglar.
All right, Hamburglar. It's the first one I heard.
Is that or Jimi Hendrix?
Just because of Archie. All right.
His name is Jimmy.
So, yeah, we have...
Jeff Nixon.
Okay, so we have our...
That's how you spell... My name is Jeff.
My name is
Jeff. Okay, so...
All right, so we got Miss Muffin in disguise as Sassy Sue Chef Sue. Crystal as my name is Jeff. Archie as Hamburglar and Fleestick as Da Zohan. And they make their journey towards
Zohan.
To the Rebels Inn. We go through a deep montage of traveling through sea, Fleestick puking, people crying, and everyone mad. Yeah, so we push through, and then as you guys kind of are looking through a haze of sea-driven madness and lay on the sea for 3 days, perched on a high cliff overlooking the sea of moving ice is a bleak stone fortress carved from a gigantic blade-shaped rock. A central tower looms above the rest of the fortress, and a light leaks from its arrow slits. Four smaller towers rise from the outermost corners of the fortress, and guards can be seen atop them. So, you guys are approaching from sea. It is extremely cold, by the way. Like, you guys have all been given, like, blankets and shit while on the ship, but it is, like, if someone tried to break out of here and run, they would freeze to death before they made it anywhere.
Your nipples.
Yes, your nipples are hard.
Ew.
Yeah, the prison has four guard towers, you saw. Okay, so as you guys kind of dock up to the edge of the mountain, the caving out, you guys are directed off of the ship and you are headed towards an elevator to the cliff, and it takes you way up atop through these front doors. And okay, so the characters posing as guards, you guys are taken to the barracks, so area R19 if you are using your map. To look at, you will know that. You guys are directed off the ship and towards an elevator, and you ride this elevator to a cliff top and are admitted through the front doors. And the characters posing as guards are taken to the barracks in area R19, where you meet with head guard Eula Dargaria, a no-nonsense stickler for the prison's rules. She kind of looks at all of you three guards standing there, and she goes, "I don't recognize your faces. Who the hell are you?"
"My name's Jeff."
He goes, your name is Jeff?
"My name is Jeff."
She looks over at Da Zohan, and she goes, "Is he saying anything else other than my name is Jeff?"
"My name is Da Zohan."
She looks down, she goes, "I didn't ask you that." She goes, "So your name is Da Zohan?"
"Da Zohan, yes."
"The Zohan, yes? Okay, alright. This looks over at Archie and he goes, "What's your name?"
"I think it's Silky Smooth."
"My name's the Hamburglar, but you can call me Berg for short."
"Hamburg.
Berg?"
Because I'm not going to call you Berg for short. Because we don't do nicknames around here. Private. And
whatever.
she kind of looks at you guys and she goes, "Okay, so all of you... get your shit together. Get your beds set up. Get ready for your shifts, and we will be back here soon to get you guys going." And she kind of like does like a full like stands at
"My name's yeah. Jeff."
as he salutes. Yes, she goes, "Okay, yeah, your name is Jeff. My name, yes." And then she just like walks. She like walks away and like walks outside. Kind of you guys can fiddle around and get your bed
My
set
bunk
up.
Will be spotless.
Yeah, spotless as can be. My name is
Jeff. I will be an obedient guard.
He's now a Pokemon.
My name's Jeff.
I may be slow.
My name's just hot.
To talk to, but I will get shit done. Yeah.
Okay, so.
I'm here to impress.
Miss Muffin. Sorry.
Sassy
Sous Chef Sue. You are posing as a cook, and you are taken to the kitchen in area R8, where you report to Chef Tiny Tulane, a hulking, jovial man who carries an enormous saucepan. Like, he's just got, like, a gigantic saucepan with him. So he kind of looks at you and he goes, you here for helping cook?
My name is Sassy Sous Chef Sue.
He, like, you see him, like, raise up the saucepan like he's about to hit you right in the head. And he brings the saucepan up in the air, and he's, like, staring at you, and you can just tell he's, like, shaking, about to smack you in the head. And he goes, don't hit again. You lose another sous chef. And he puts it down, and he goes, your name is Sassy Sous Chef Sue?
Yes.
He goes, so it is ironic that I hired you to be sous chef if your name is Sous Chef Sue?
Yes.
It's okay, that is good. We need to start getting breakfast ready for the prisoners. Would you like to help me start cutting up Sous Chef Sue?
Yeah, you want me to crack some eggs?
Yeah, and you start cracking some eggs. Give me a sleight of hand dexterity check.
This dude's been hitting the head with the saucepan a lot.
16 plus 4?
So you expertly crack a bunch of eggs into this bowl, and he's watching you do it, and smacking all these eggs into these bowls, and, like, whipping them up, and you start making food, and he's like, I didn't tell you next step, but you do good job, yeah, and then he kind of starts walking away and let you cook eggs and stuff. As we flip back to our guards, you guys have gotten your beds nice and done. My name is Jeff. You got yours spotless clean, trying to impress, so... Eula Dargaria kind of walks back inside, and she goes, all right, I see you guys got situated. And she, like, looks at your spot, and she goes, my name is Jeff. Very clean, very straight forward. I like it. She goes, good job. You don't got to say anything. Good job. And then you see her get, like, very nervous, like, looking at you. It's like, okay, you good. And she goes,
I kind of do, like, the open mouth stop, like, hold it back. Like, okay.
Okay, she goes, so we're going to get you guys started on your first shift. You're going to do your shift. You're going to loop around. You're going to make sure everything's good. Check on the prisoners. They'll be bringing breakfast soon, so don't worry about the cooks. If they give you any trouble, I don't know, just kick them in the head or something. You guys can begin your first shift to walk around the prisoners' area, the cells, to also make perception checks, talk to anyone. But you have to be careful because you can get in trouble for talking to prisoners too much. So...
Well, good thing I don't say much.
You guys start your shift and you start to make your way around. You're walking through this long corridor down the outer edges of the cells, and you can kind of hear, like, inmates screaming and yelling and stuff, and you can see anti-magic fields around all the cells, so, like, anyone with magic inside of it cannot be used. It completely blocks all the magic.
Great.
So, you guys see that. Would you like to make perception checks as you kind of are looping around this thing a couple times?
Sure. One. 17.
Very good. 20.
Nat
20? 13. Plus 4. Okay, so Nat 20. You guys are kind of walking around, and, like, you're kind of doing the, like, peeping out the corner of your eye, looking through cells and kind of checking things out. And you see this woman sitting in this cell, and she's kind of just, like, crouched down, like, looking at the wall, just kind of staring. But you hear, like, whispering and, like, mumbling to herself, and you notice that she's very odd. Is there anything you'd like to do with that?
Is she silky smooth?
Is she silky smooth? I don't know. You'd have to ask her. Be careful too.
What cell is this? Is this the cell?
What?
Do you say this is the
prisoner? You don't know exactly which prisoner this is, okay. But you just see someone there, so.
Just kind of peeking. Like,
kind of peeking around. You want to give me another perception check now that you're up close and, like, kind of looking through this cell?
19.
Fuck you. Okay, so you look through this cell and you see definitely it's a dwarven woman kind of crouched down on the ground, and she's got tattoos. She's tired. She's got tattoos that go all the way up her arms and like full sleeves from like wrist to like shoulder. They're kind of glowing like a faint blue, and she's like whispering to them. What would you like to do?
Ooh, she's summoning magic in an anti-field, eh? Sounds like our gal.
Whisper icebreaker to
her. Whisper assbreaker.
Whisper assbreaker? Okay, you whisper in assbreaker as you're like walking by. You see her head kind of turn, and she goes, assbreaker. Ha, that's funny. And then she kind of turns back around and starts whispering to her arm again. But as you kind of do that, make me a dexterity save. You.
That's pretty good.
I just seen it. Eight.
Eight?
Yep.
Ooh. Okay, so you're kind of like whispering through this thing, and you say that, and she kind of says that, and you're kind of like trying to think of like what, like did she think I was funny, like what the heck? And then a guard walks up behind you. He goes, "What the hell are you doing talking to that inmate?"
Then I walk up.
Hey, yeah, bro, I want to talk. I'm making fun of her because she's talking to herself, dude.
He goes, "That's still talking to her. You aren't supposed to talk to inmates." He goes, "We can't talk to
inmates." I just
walk up out of nowhere. I'm just like, "Salute. My name is Jeff."
He goes, "Oh, my name is Jeff. I've heard good things about you." He goes, you've done well. You had a good bed set up. He goes, "But your friend here can't be talking to inmates." He goes, "You guys can't talk to inmates." He goes, "Luckily, I caught you. And luckily, my name is Jeff is a good guy." He goes, "Let's not have this happen again." And your suspicion level rises.
I kind of smack him upside the head. I go, "My name's Jeff."
My name's Jeff.
Okay. Yeah, but suspicion level rises 1%.
For me?
For overall, the guards. Specifically him, yes. But yes.
I was like, "I did a good job with bed. My name's Jeff." Say
nothing to her.
"Well, I make bed very nice."
Get your ears checked.
I just picture
like Officer D.D. in the vacuum cleaner. Like, that's what I'm pretty much going for. No one
would ever suspect the guy that's just like, he just says, "My name is Jeff." He drills a little and he does his job really good.
Doofy.
He's attentive at work. He doesn't question orders.
Okay. That happens. And you guys kind of make way with your shift and move on. And we head back to our cook.
Me.
Yeah, you just finished making eggs and you're about to deliver breakfast to all the prisoners. So make me perception check as you start walking around and see what you see.
Make you a perception check. 18.
As you're walking out, you see three guards walking away. You see very clearly Flea Stick rubbing his head, kind of looking disappointed, while you hear out the distance, "My name is Santa!" coming from like the down the hall. Yeah. What'd you get on your perception check? Sorry?
18.
18? Yeah. You see the same thing. You see the woman crouched in there where they are walking away from her. But you start to slide, you can slide eggs through each of the cells as you're walking your way there. What would you like to do when you get to her cell? Anything special? Or would you like to just move on?
I'm going to look around to see if anybody's near to hear or see me. And I'm going to look at her cell and say,
make me a stealth check to see if you can do it sneakily without anyone seeing you.
19.
Okay. Yep, you do it without being seen. What do you say to her?
Bitch, is you 13?
Bitch, is you 13?
Yes.
She turns around. She goes, "Are you asking me my inmate number or my age?"
"Your inmate number."
She goes, "Yes, I'm 13, but don't you know that?"
"I do now. Here's your eggs."
You like slip them in, and you can definitely tell she's like giving you a weird look as you slip but nothing else.
Now I'm gonna go on and give the rest of them eggs and get back to my business.
Okay, all right. You deliver the rest of your eggs. So your guys' shift is over. The guards, and they're taking over other guards. Is there anything special you'd like to do throughout this whole area? You are back in your barracks, transferring off. But
could
you are
take a stroll to the kitchen to get something to eat.
Yeah, you can do that. That's fine. You just have to sign out of your barracks guard that you're going to get food so they know to keep track of what guards are where. So you're going to sign... are you going to sign the paper to sign out sheet? or are you not going to sign it?
I mean, if I get caught on the way back, I'm on the sign-out sheet. Then we might get fucked.
Do I have to go to the armory to turn in my weapons for the night?
No, the guards do not have to turn in their armory, because you guys go back to your barracks, you sleep, you maintain your weapons, and then you wake up and you go straight to
for next shift. Emergency
yes.
protocols.
Yes, just in case things happen, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, sure, I'll sign the paper.
Okay, yeah, you sign the paper, Hamburglar. and yeah, you start to make your way to the kitchen. You make your way there, and when you walk in, you see your good friend Miss Muffin cleaning up dishes and such from eggs. What were you liking to do here? Just to get food, or were you liking to spy and secret stuff?
Yeah, I'm going to ask her for some food and then see if she's seen anything.
Yeah, so, yeah, Miss Muffin.
So, Miss Muffin is Sassy Sue's Seth Sue! And she's gonna once again look around, see where my sous chef boss is, see if any guards are listening in or looking at us.
Make a perception check.
You mean the chef?
Yeah, the chef. You're the sous chef.
Sous chef bosses.
Was it perception or stealth?
Perception.
Five.
You perceive Five. Nothing.
You don't perceive anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so yeah, you think it's clear. Go ahead. You think it's clear.
I'm going to hand him a plate of eggs and look at him and say, I found 13.
Action. End of the scene sequence. Okay, sorry. Go ahead. Yeah, you found 13. So, yeah. What would you like to do with that information, Archie? You know that that woman you guys talked to is 13.
You can look around again.
Look around again.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna take a look around, make sure no one's around.
Go ahead, sure. Give me a perception check.
Wow, five.
Five. Okay, so yeah, you don't see anything.
You
don't perceive anybody.
Wait, I already know though that's the same woman. I don't have to like confirm that with her.
No, yeah, she said that she found the 13 is there, and I'm assuming you tell her.
Yeah.
That you talked to her, yeah, it's 13. That is 13. Well, but you did not perceive anything from your perception check.
Well, then I'm gonna
nod and walk on.
Yeah, say nod, thank you for the eggs and get the hell out of there.
Head back to the barracks. Okay, so as you walk out of the barracks, make me a dex save.
Oh shit. Natural 20 plus 6.
Plus 6? Wow, okay. So as you step out of this door, this guard kind of walks up to you and he goes to like reach for your arm and grab you, and you kind of spin around and push his arm off, and the eggs are still in your hand, like spinning around. And he goes, "What were you just talking about in there? Why were you talking about inmate 13? What do you want with her?"
I wasn't saying anything about inmate 13. I was getting eggs, bro. Chill.
13 eggs.
Okay. He goes, listen. He like looks around for a second. He goes, "You need to stop asking questions about prisoner 13. He goes, "She's got power with this place that you don't understand. Because she's, right now, if I don't tell you this, she's going to make my fucking head explode, okay?" And then like he like quickly looks around and just takes off running down the hallway. Like, takes off running.
Oh, shit.
This episode of Dummies with Dice features Kelly Lee as Miss Muffin, Nate Chambers as Duke Crystal, Ryan Hart as Archie Ortiz, Ryan Tucker as Flea Stick Sock Jelly, and Tristan Hayes is the DM. The episode is edited and mixed by Tristan Hayes. The artwork for Dummies with Dice, created by Al Sorensen, can be found on Instagram under ARCSI0. The theme song is The Intense Fiddle by Ben Caldera. When it comes to Dummies with Dice, you can find our website on rss.com/podcast/dummieswithdice and on Facebook at Dummies with Dice. Most importantly, join our Patreon at patreon.com/dummieswithdice for free or for $3 monthly to gain access to a Discord and bonus content. Come back in 2 weeks for new episodes of Dummies with Dice.